Me and my wife are trying to work this out. Apologize. But the city was full of idols. Better? The city was full of objects of worship. Paul saw this in the first century. And people, you know, these people, you know, today we would say, you know what, we don't have idols so much in the cities, but what we do have, brothers and sisters, is we have billboards, advertising, things we think we need. You know what? And the devil is behind this persuasion. He is a liar, and there is no truth in him. In John 8:44b says, he was a murderer from the beginning. He always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You know what? Paul wanted the men of Athens to know the truth. Paul wanted the men of Athens to know the true God. Paul wanted the men of Athens to see that they have been misled and are worshiping a false God. So Paul had three main points in this passage I want to look at today. God doesn't dwell in a building. God doesn't need men's help. And God is the answer to what man is seeking. So we're going to look at that today. And I'm going to first read the passage, Acts 17, 24 to 28. And then we'll open the service in prayer. So if you have your Bibles, please go to Acts 17, 24 to 28. It says this: the God who made the world and all the things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitation, that they may seek God, if perhaps they may grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, even as some of our poets have said, for we are also his children. Let's open this time of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for the scriptures. You know, Lord, that we really need you. We seek you. We grope for you. We look for you. We try to find you. And the answer, Lord, is you. I pray, Lord, for those listening today would realize that in life, you want them to choose you to be their source, your source, their source of spiritual life. I pray, Lord, you open our hearts and minds and know how we fit into this big thing called life and what's it all mean. Thank you so much, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's a little background? A little background to this passage is what? Well, Paul visited Athens. And as he's in Athens, he observed a lot of what he saw in the culture there. He saw in the society there. And what did he see? He saw, you know, various philosophies. He saw curious people wanting to know more and learn more. He saw that they were very religious. He saw that they had many objects of worship. He saw this altar that's had an inscription on it that said, to an unknown God. And the men of Athens said, you know, Paul has been preaching this message. We want to know more about this message. So they invited him to go to this thing, this place called Areopagus, which was a place where he could teach. And it was up on a hill, and it was 370 feet high. And people could see him high, preaching down, and hear a message. So he was invited by those men to preach. That's like today being invited, you know, from, you know, going to maybe a football stadium or Madison Square Garden or something like that, where he could preach to a large audience. And then, you know, he was ready to do that. But, you know, what he saw in that city in Athens, we see a lot today in every American city and every American, you know, town today. We see the same things, okay? All types of worldly philosophies, all types of learning, all types of education, all kinds of religious activities. You know what? And, you know, idols, but advertisement of idol, billboards, things like that. Things that the culture is pushing to say that we need. So first century Athens, Greece, okay, and in most cities today are doing the same thing they did back then. They're worshiping unknown gods. They're worshiping idols. You know what, brothers and sisters? Paul started his message with this. He said, his heart was for the truth of the gospel. He said, before I even start, I observed your people, your culture, what you're doing. And he said, therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this is what I proclaim to you, which is this, the true gospel. And this is what God is and who God is. And he wants them to know the only true God. Amen. And I want to proclaim the same thing to you today, because the scripture hasn't changed and God hasn't changed. The times have changed, but our needs are the same, brothers and sisters. So let's look at this. The first point. God doesn't dwell in a building. Acts 17, 24. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. God who made the world and all that is in it, he is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is sovereign. He made all things. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. He doesn't dwell in a temple made with hands. God does not dwell in a building. Okay? God doesn't dwell in a temple or a church. Okay? You know, and since we're on lockdown, I think this is exposing that fact. And that fact is this, that God is not in a particular church building. He could be, and he's experienced there, but no, God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, the God-man, Jesus Christ, God, Jesus is in you. So he's in another place, omnipresent and in you. Now the church, you know what, are called out ones and they're called out believers. So God isn't really in the building, brothers and sisters. He is in you as a believer and he is everywhere, omnipresent. You know, as a young believer, I got saved. I was probably 27, 28 in that time frame. And I got saved in a wonderful church, about 50 people, a small church. And I wanted so much to go to the church. Every time the doors was open, I wanted to go to the church. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be at Bible studies. I wanted to be at services. I wanted to be on a Sunday service, an evening service, a prayer meeting. Always wanted to go there. But then I realized, you know what? That I could meet him, God, anywhere and at any time. Years later, I ended up getting sick with an illness. Those that know me ended up may know that I ended up with Lyme disease years ago. And I couldn't really attend church. And I had to take a step back from everything. And really, but could barely even work. But you know what? I realized that then, that I didn't have to go to that building. I didn't have to meet with those specific people to meet God and experience God. He didn't dwell in that particular place, brothers and sisters. He's everywhere. And as a believer, he is in me. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you, and he's also omnipresent if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the coronavirus, I believe, is exposing a lot about how we view church. The coronavirus is exposing a lot on how we conduct the church moving forward. Because brothers and sisters, God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. The church should be everywhere. The church could be one physical location, but it could be much vaster than that and much larger than that. You know what? I have a vision as the pastor here at Grace Christian Church to preach a message to you every Sunday and stream it into your home and have a house church and have a leader in that house church and have a time after the message to go on Zoom or a way we could communicate with you to answer questions. Brothers and sisters, that is taking the church to the people instead of the people coming to the church. Brothers and sisters, I believe the coronavirus is showing us, pastors and leaders, that we should take the church to the people instead of trying to get the people to come to the church. Amen. And that's my vision. Please join me in that vision. And if you're interested in doing that, please contact our church. But brothers and sisters, God isn't in a building. He's omnipresent, and as a believer, he is in you. Second point, God doesn't need man's help. This is Acts 17:25. Nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. We know that he's not in the temple. He's not in the church only. He could be, but he's everywhere. But it says in this verse, he is not served by human hands as though he needed anything. You know what? I want you to stop right there and take that in. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. Brothers and sisters, if you get anything from this message, get this. God doesn't need our help. God doesn't need us to accomplish something for him. God doesn't need us. He wants to use us, but he doesn't need us. Why? Because he is God. And most of us do not understand this. We, as Christians, say, I'm going to serve God. It's a good, noble, wonderful want and something that you want to do. But the question becomes, we're serving him. But in this verse, he says he doesn't need anything. So we serve him, we do things for him, and then we say, God, please bless what I'm doing. And God is returning and saying to us, daughter, son, I know what you're doing, but I don't want you to do that. I want you to do this. I don't want you to work for me. I want you to work and serve from me. A big difference. Serving from me is serving from him and Christ and God in you as the source. That is a big, big, big distinction and a big difference in how we live the Christian life. Are we serving God out of self? Are we serving God? Are we serving? Are we working for him? Are we working from him? Brothers and sisters, the secret is we work from him. We serve from him as the source. You know what? Now, the second part of that verse says, he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. Yes, God gives physical life. You were born. When you were born, you didn't choose to be born. Your parents conceived you and you were born. Okay? So we're born physically, but there's no choice there. But also God gives life. He gives spiritual life. Amen? So in this case, what we're saying in this verse is he gives man life, physical life, but that physical life is a person born into this earth that is spiritually dead. But also he gives physical life and God gives spiritual life. You know what? Man is either physically alive and spiritually dead or physically alive and spiritually alive. There's no difference. There's no choice. You're either spiritually alive or spiritually dead, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, God wants to give you his life. He gave you physical life by no choice, but spiritual life is by a choice. And that is the journey we are on in this world today. The gospel message is a gospel message of offering spiritual life to man, okay? Remember last week's Easter message? When you believe in Christ dying for your sins and being raised on the third day for the forgiveness of your sins, you have this. Forgiveness of sins. You have eternal life. You have spiritual life. You have Christ's life. It's all the same. When you believe, you have forgiveness of sins, eternal life, spiritual life, and Christ's life. It's a package deal. It's not something in the future. It's what you have now. Spiritual life. That's what God wants. That's what he's offering you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Paul saw this. Paul knew this. Paul knew that men want to serve out of their own strength. Paul knew that men want to serve God out of their own resources. Paul knew men want to serve God from their flesh. But what Paul discovered that many of us are still learning today is this, 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we would despair even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. What did Paul say in these verses? In life, in affliction, in trials, in self-effort, the thing I have to learn is this, and Paul too, not to trust in myself, but in God who raises the dead. That trusting in him as your source is the way to serve God, not out of your own flesh, brothers and sisters. We serve Christ who is in every believer. We serve because he's in us, not from self. We have a choice to serve from him as our source or from our flesh as our source or our self as our source or our self-effort as our source. That's the choice. God doesn't need our hands. We don't serve him. He doesn't need our help. He wants to use us and express himself through us. Brothers and sisters, this isn't done by self-effort. We can't produce something we don't have. We can only express God who lives inside us. That's the secret. That is the secret to the second part here, second point. God does not need our help. Do you see that? Do you see that? If you're frustrated today trying to serve him in self, no, not seeing God work, not seeing the fruits of your labors because it's you, not him. He's saying, come to me, I'm your source. You know, the source is not your flesh, but me, amen. This goes for all of us, and it's a lesson learned, and sometimes it takes years, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But ask God to show you, Lord, where am I doing? How am I serving you? Is it from me, or is it from you? Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, he wants to serve from him through you. Third point, God is the answer to what men are seeking. This is 17 of Acts 26 to 28. 26 says, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and their boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as some of your poets have said, for we also are his children. 26, the verse says, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. Who is that one man? That one man, brothers and sisters, is Adam. All of us, if there was a test, I don't know if there is, probably could have a DNA from him. We are spiritually his descendants, spiritually dead as his descendants, but we have his DNA. But see, we're made from him. We're descendants of him, the first man and the first woman. We're descendants. But then it says, God did what? He said this. He determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitation. What's he saying here? God has said and determined the time and place you will be born and the time and place you will die. He knows the time in history when you are going to exist. That's what this verse is saying. Okay? He knows it all. He knows the time when you were placed into the world. Now, several years ago, when we had a prayer meeting in our first church, and we had a prayer meeting one Wednesday night, and a brother made a great illustration that I want to share with you today about God and man and life. And he said this, and this still sticks with me now, almost 30 years later, that we are like, you know, back in the 90s, they had VHS tapes and tape players. Some of us that are older know that. The younger ones don't. No more. This is before DVDs. VHS tapes went into a player. And this gentleman said, this brother who I love said, life is like your VHS tape. God pushes the tape in. He presses start. It starts going and going. That's your life. The start of the tape, and there's an end of the tape. God knows the twists and turns in your life. God knows the choices you're going to make and not make. God knows the mistakes you'll make and the right choices you're going to make. He knows it all. He knows it all. The tape is running, and you're on the tape. You're on the tape. With your free will, you are still in that tape. He knows your free will and your right and wrong choices, okay? He said, start. And God knew, when he placed you into this world, that you would be here today in 2020, in April, and amongst this global pandemic called, you know, this COVID-19. He knew. God knew you would be today experiencing this. It's not a mistake. It's not a coincidence. It's not random. He knew. So God has placed us all here for a purpose, okay? Now, I want to look at the next verse, 27, and this is really the whole what's it mean in life. He said, verse 27, now, he placed man in the earth that they would seek God, that perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. So now that we're on this tape, we're in this movie, it says, what are we? We would seek God. Brothers and sisters, every human being, every man and woman, child, son, daughter, father, mother, is on a search. They're seeking. It says right here, they would seek, but they're seeking to fill a need. And the basic need is this, love. Man is searching and seeking God because they don't know it's God, but they're seeking love. They're seeking acceptance. They're seeking this powerful emotion of love. And you know what? He's saying here is that really can only be fulfilled by God. You know, Jesus, by the way, unconditionally loves every person. Your salvation isn't based on your behavior. Once you believe, you're sealed in the promised Holy Spirit. Never, he will never leave you or forsake you. You know what? We are seeking something. We're seeking to fill the hole. We were seeking to fill what was ripped away in the Garden of Eden, which was the Spirit. Because man today, in Adam, is born physically, spiritually dead. We're seeking and searching for something spiritual in a physical world. Amen? That's our dilemma. Point second here is they're groping for him. This verse continues, they're groping. So we're seeking and groping. We're touching. We're feeling. We're trying to get him. Okay? We're trying to get something. And what we're doing is we're groping for things, feeling for things that substitute for God. Something that substitutes for love. It's fake. Something that substitutes what I want to, you know, to give me security. It's fake. We're substituting idols and groping for them and grabbing some of these idols and thinking this is what we need in life. And God is saying, no, no, what you're groping for is him, God. Amen. You're groping for him, but we're substituting idols for only what God can provide and fulfill. Brothers and sisters, that is the situation. That is the dilemma. That is the issue we have as men. Paul's explaining this to the men of Athens. And then he says the third part of this little verse here, they find him and he's not far from each of them. Brothers and sisters, some of us find him and some of us don't find him. We find him when we hear the gospel message and we say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me alive. That means you found him. He is not far from you, brothers and sisters. That's what your heart is searching for. There's a hole. You need spiritual life. And this is what it's exposing. The coronavirus is exposing all this, brothers and sisters. Paul said it back in the first century. It applies today. You know what? We seek, we grope for him. He's not far from each of us. The gospel message is what we're seeking. The gospel message is what we need. The gospel message is what we're groping for. The gospel message is only found in Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. What a wonderful message today in a time of really hopelessness, anxiety, fear, all these things, right? We're in this time frame of a global pandemic, and God is saying, I'm the answer, okay? Mm-hmm. Verse 28 says, for in him we live and move and exist, even as some of your poets have said, we also are his children. What is Paul saying? For in him. Now he shifts gear. Who is him? For in him, God, is Christ. For in Christ, we live and move and have our being. You know what? That's another message. Christ is in you. Another great teaching. Look it up. In Christ, in the Bible. Hundreds of verses. Probably, I don't know how many. So many different ways it's shown. In Christ, and Christ in you. That's another message. But you know what? In him, in Christ, we move, we live, move, and exist, okay? That's the exchanged life. We've exchanged our old self for his life. He's our life. And you know, some of these poets have said the same thing. Back then, they know for in him, but they have the wrong him. They think they live and move in an idol. They live and move and exist in some worshiping something that's fake. No, brothers and sisters, it's Jesus Christ, okay? You know what? In the beginning, the inscription said on that carved image, it said an altar to an unknown God. God isn't unknown. He's known. He's near to you. He can be known. He can be known intimately, brothers and sisters, and he wants you to come to him and know him so he can have a relationship with you. You know what? In conclusion, I want to say this. God isn't unknown. Paul said this in the city of Athens, the inscription. God can be known, can be known intimately, and can be known in great ways. You know what? What's it all mean? I'm going to summarize what it all means, and I posted this on Facebook on a one post. It's on there. You can read it. This is what it means. Life. You have been placed by God into this time of history, in history. You know what? You've been born with a hole in your heart. You have a hole in your heart that you are seeking to fill. You are looking for and groping for something. You have substituted idols for the true God, being deceived by the world and the devil. You are near to God. You need what you need. Your need is spiritual life. You need to live, move, and exist in him who is Christ. That's what it all means, brothers and sisters. That's what it all means. Receive Christ into your heart. Live and move in him and get to know him. That's what we need to do during this pandemic, brothers and sisters, and all times of life. Receive Christ into your heart. Live and move in him and get to know him. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
That's what's going on today. That's what God is exposing. He wants you to come to him. You're groping. You're seeking. And he says, here I am. You can know me. I'm not unknown, brothers and sisters. So if you have any questions about this message, we're going to put a poll online today on Facebook, and we'll get back to you. And we'd love to speak with you one-on-one in a Zoom, in a personal way, on a Zoom meeting. Contact us. If you'd like to email us, we have an email button on our Facebook page, the blue button. And we also have our email address, which is gccnj1@gmail.com. Now, I'm going to close this message in prayer. Sorry for the technical difficulties up front, and then we'll see you next week. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for the message of the gospel. Thank you so much, Lord, that you placed us today into this world, in this time, that we would seek, look for you, grope for you, and to finally find you. And brothers and sisters, Lord, we're so thankful that that's the purpose. That's what it's all about. I pray, Lord, that those who don't know you would seek you out and you would make them yourselves known, and that will receive you. And I pray, Lord, that those who are frustrated in serving you with human hands would you realize you are the source. I pray, Lord, that you would meet us where we're at and we would bring the church to homes. That's my vision, Lord, and I pray for that. Thank you so much for all you listening today. We love you. And we will pray for you. If you have any needs, contact us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.